Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1-4. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows, 348, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 61. First, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. A man shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal and unchangeable God, and the God of all comfort, and the Father of all mercies, thou hast granted in this evening hour, a word has been mourning, most of the day is past, it has become evening, and once more thou granteth the opportunity that we and our children may place ourselves under the means of grace. And then we have heard out of thy holy word the blessed work of a triune God and the blessed portion of thy people, and that the prophet of old has declared that thou shalt comfort those that mourn, to bind up the broken-hearted ones, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, to those that are bound. Lord, thou knowest how we have come up to thy house in this evening hour, and thou knowest how the family circles are sitting in their homes. May there be many a soul, Lord, there are still so many that are unconverted, and then the weeping on account of the consequences of sin, that is great. But may it please thee in this evening hour, for those that have never shed an upright tear, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, wrought by that godly sorrow, never an upright tear over the character of sin, that are traveling on that broad way, Lord, perhaps careless, even hardened. It shall not stand the end away, but hopefully, yet with some impressions and with meditations upon what they have heard, and yet a place at thy footstool with a deep realization that they cannot continue this way, that they need to be converted, Lord. Wilt thou then work that supernatural and wonderful work in the hearts of young and old, that in this very hour, that they may become mourners in Zion, and be filled with such a jealousy concerning the blessed portion of thy children, and that they may be given to beg, Lord, when thou worketh, then it shall be, then they shall become beggars at the throne of grace, and be given to ask of thee, and that they may receive that true comfort. And Lord, the word thou hast begun, wilt thou grant further leadings. May there never be a resting. Oh, it is sweet when a poor and a needy sinner, when they may come on such a low place, they cannot find a place low enough to bow before thee, that majestic and that great God. But wilt thou teach them? That is the work of the Spirit, to teach them that confessions, it is necessary. But by their confession, then the sins are not forgiven. Lord, then we have heard out of thy word of the comfort for thy people, of the garments of salvation, and the robe of righteousness. Lord, may the proclamation of thy holy word, may it be used to that end in this evening hour, that thy word may be accompanied by the loving and powerful work of thy Holy Spirit. To that end, bless the manifold means of grace. Wilt thou remember, wilt thou help, wilt thou strengthen and encourage the consistory. Lord, who is sufficient unto these things? May there be many Aarons and Hurs among young and old. Bless the labors on the Sabbath day. Bless the instruction to our youth, the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, and wilt thou bless the house visitation. Bless the means of grace in the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to that end, where they have promised with the baptizing of their children to do their utmost to instruct them in that aforesaid doctrine. Bless the labors in the Christian school, where thy word may be opened, make it a blessing for young and old. Grant traveling mercies, and remember all those that labor therein. Lord, remember the nations of the earth in this serious time. Remember also our country. Remember our province. May it please thee to grant unto our leaders a solemn impression that thou reignest, that thou art the supreme ruler, and that thou hast everything in thy hand, and that without thee, that all the means, all the efforts we put forth, that it shall all be in vain. Wilt thou impress upon the hearts of our leaders that they may be given to see and realize the need for the churches to gather, and that they may be given to beg of thee for a necessary and a forfeited blessing, O Lord, as a country. Then we have departed so far from thy word and from thy law. The unborn murdered, the Sabbath day desecrated, and the seventh commandment trampled upon, denying that thou hast created everything in the beginning, that thou hast created the male and female. And then under the solemn judgment of the virus, where our government is going forward attempting to bring laws into being to muzzle the church, and that iniquity may only be increased, where it seems that thou art giving them over more and more to the foolishness of their own heart. But, oh Lord, it is because that thy church in this country is no longer the light upon the hill and the salt of the earth. May that become the guilt of the church. And may it please thee to grant unto us and our children a turning from our evil and our worldly ways. Wilt thou remember all the sick in our province, in this country? We commend unto thee all those that work in the medical field and also in different departments in the works of emergency. Wilt thou remember and uphold them? Lord, remember all the special needs amongst us and our children, the needs that are known, but also the needs that are not so known, the secret crosses, the secret burdens. Then thou hast said in thy word, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Then by renewal we commend unto thee all the mourning ones in our midst, all the elderly ones, all the sick and afflicted ones, all those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones, difficulties with the body and difficulties of the mind? Wilt thou uphold all those that may lovingly care for them? Remember the family circles. May love abound between husbands and wives and between parents and children. And when it is not so grand yet a turning, remember what has been separated. Bring it together according to thy word. Those that are struggling with temptations and addictions, may they be given to bow their knees and to use the means that they may be delivered. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, and may it please thee to continue to provide for our daily bread in the midst of the families. When there are families that are struggling, may they be given to experience that thou knowest of them. Lord, we now humbly ask thee in this evening hour for thy gracious help in speaking and in listening. Ah, thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee for everything. And the psalmist of old has declared, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard and delivered him. Wilt thou so be a surprising God? Wilt thou remember all the hearers in thy house, in the basement, and those in their dwelling places? Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name? Pardon us of all of our transgressions, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 73, the stanzas 1 of 5 and 6. The Lord Almighty is my light, he is my Savior ever near. And since my strength is in his might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear? And what follows? Psalter 73, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then by renewal, we wish to ask your attention for Lord's Day number 1 of our Heidelberg Catechism, the question and answers 1 and 2. Question 1, what is thy only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who, with his precious blood, hath fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Question 2, how many things are necessary for thee to know that thou enjoying this comfort mayest live and die happily? Answer, 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how we shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Lord's Day number 1 speaks of the Christian's only comfort in life and death, with 3 thoughts in the first place. The thought provoking question. In the second place, the comprehensive answer. And in the third place, the indispensable knowledge. Beloved congregation, many times our Heidelberg Catechism, it is called the Book of Comfort, because the instructors, based upon God's holy word, have declared the way that the Lord leadeth his people, and how sinners may receive that comfort. To that end, the Heidelberg Catechism, they tell us, after 400 years in the year 1963, that the Heidelberg Catechism had been translated into 30 different languages, because wherever we live and whatever language we speak, it is the same Spirit that leadeth his children, and they shall learn to understand the language of Canaan. That, boys and girls, that is the language that God's people are given to speak, that means concerning the wonderful ways of the Lord, which they have experienced. the Heidelberg Catechism, that is a precious gift, which the Lord in his great goodness and mercy has given and entrusted unto the church. Nevertheless, we must always remember that the three forms of unity, they may never be placed above God's word or even beside God's word, but are subservient to this word. And to that end, in each Lord's Day, then the instructors, they have quoted many scriptural texts to prove that what they are answering, that it is according to this word. When we consider the question and answers in our Heidelberg Catechism, then it could be asked, who was now asking the question and who was giving the answer? And then it is best to say that it is a student, a soul that is seeking for the truth, and that an exercised child of God, which has been led far by the work of the Spirit in the ways of the Lord, that he has given the answer. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Young and old, may I ask you, how has it now been with that question in the week that lies behind? Because I hope that the last Sabbath day, that you have not left that question and that beautiful answer on the church bench. Have there been souls that have went to their homes, to their bedrooms, boys and girls, young and old, and that you have bowed your knees, and that the tears began to roll, and that you have said, Lord, we have heard such an earnest, such a serious, and such an important question concerning comforts. And now thou granteth many comforts upon this earth, and that for a poor sinner as I am. But, O Lord, then I need that true comfort which thou granteth unto thy children by the work of the Holy Spirit. Because we have heard in that question that there is not only spoken of our life, but that there is also spoken of our death. Then we have heard of a comfort that can truly make us happy, that can truly satisfy, a comfort that endures to that never-ending eternity. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to bless the means of grace, that I may become a partaker of that blessed comfort. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Then what has been your answer, boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones in my midst? What has now been your answer before a holy, a righteous, a good-doing, an everywhere present and an all-knowing God who searches the heart? Has then your answer been, Lord, then I must confess that I have not that comfort? Maybe, I hope not. but that you even have to say, Lord, I am but a careless sinner, where my heart is becoming harder and harder, and it seems that I can so freely indulge in sin, and that my conscience is becoming quieter and quieter. I hope not, congregation. And if it is so, oh, then beg the Lord for the work of His Spirit. But I hope that amongst us and our children, that there are those times that we walk not so easy upon the earth, that under His solemn callings and the proclamation of His holy word, that we are sorely troubled, that we are given to pause, and that we are given to pray. Oh, the Lord, He is still gathering His church. What is thy only comfort, thus we have heard it the past week? Many comforts in this time, but comforts that can so suddenly be taken away, that can so suddenly fade away, and comforts that we cannot take along. When the angel of death comes, then we need that comfort of which the instructor has spoken about. May the prayers be multiplied, that we may be given to storm the throne of grace, that even belongs to that comfort. The spirit of prayer and of supplication, what a blessing it is when for the true church, that they may receive those special exercises, that the Lord would do a great work amongst us. And then we have considered the first part of that answer. Then the instructor said that he was no longer his own. He has come under another master. Of course, it can be in the church that we change generals, but that we are still under the same king can be. We think of the temporal believer, so much can take place, all for the true work of the Lord. What a trouble they can have with that temporal believer, and how they are given to cry unto the Lord, Lord, if thou wast never begun in my heart, how wilt thou begin today? Because I can miss everything upon this world, but I cannot miss thee. Are there such souls that you may say before an all-knowing God, Lord, I can miss everything upon this world. Of course, we need many things, but the most important is that I may have thee, that thou may remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And now the instructor, then we have heard it. Oh, an exercised child of God that may be given to speak of that assurance of faith. Oh, maybe there are souls. Has that ever become our question? Because John Newton has said that there are souls. 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not? Has that become precious unto us? Oh, that we are given to tell the Lord. No, not to build upon some feelings and emotions. Then the instructors, we hope to hear it in our last point, that matters need to be experienced by the grace of God, that I am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Thus a great wonder has taken place. Oh, we have the examples in the Bible. Think of Saul on the way to Damascus. Oh, he was living in a self-righteousness. Saul thought, if anyone goes to heaven, it would be me. And he even thought that he was doing the Lord good by persecuting the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That tells his congregation that there can be much and that it is still wrong. But now as Saul was given to experience, oh, we could wake him up any time and say, Saul, what is that wonder now taking place? Oh, then he could tell us. Oh, then I hope hear souls say, I hope at least, that there are souls that say, if I was now only converted as Saul, as such a remarkable and such a great change, then I would not have to be so troubled whether the Lord has begun. But that is not the most important, congregation. The most important is that we may experience the precious things of the Lord as they are declared in the Word of God. Because the child of God is given to lay his experience beside the Word of God, and then he shall find his experience in the same. Oh, that faithful Savior, faithful from eternity, in the fullness of time, in the moment of regeneration, and in the way of continuance. Oh, that is what the church learns. A faithful Savior, a faithful bridegroom, for an unfaithful bride, and then we have heard, because our answer that speaks of the work of a triune God, it speaks of the purchase and the redemption by the Son. And then the instructors are given to stress by his precious blood. Oh, that blood is so precious. When we consider whom has shed that blood, no one else than the beloved Son of the Father, who has come upon the earth. Oh, when the church may be given to consider the manner and the way it was shed. Oh, as deep suffering and death. That is the marrow of the gospel. Oh, in the especially when we consider the three G's, Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha. And then the wonder for whom it has been shed. Oh, on Christmas Day, we have spoken out of 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Thus then this answer declares, congregation of Petribute, that there is no one that can say that it is impossible for me. We have not deserved it. We have left the Lord in paradise, and we continue that choice by our actual sins. But oh, it may be declared that only comfort, that is the portion of the Lord's people. And then further, then we have said, delivered me from all the power of the devil. Thus, for God's people, they are delivered from his dominion and from his power, but not from his rage. Oh, what a trouble that the living child is true. If you read in earlier days, then how we read of God's people, think of John Bunyan and Pilgrim's Progress, what a trouble he had with Napoleon. Nevertheless, when the Lord works, then the devil shall attack their faith, shall come with many assaults. But oh, the instructors is given to see upon the king. That unto him, as I read in Matthew 28, verse 18, unto me is given all power in heaven and upon earth. He has been defeated on Calvary's cross. When Christ is cried out, it is finished. And further, now we must continue, and so preserves me. Ah, the church, they learn. If they had to preserve themselves and preserve their faith, and those graces would be eternally lost. Ah, what a poor doctrine of the remonstrance, where the Arminian tells the people that we have power to believe, that you must believe, and to that end, they must also preserve that faith. But the living child of God, oh, they are so glad. Oh, it is true. Our flesh, that is an enemy of free and sovereign grace. But the child of God is given to learn in the way of experience that they are given to extol grace in the beginning, in the furtherance, and to that very end. Oh, and this afternoon we have read from the Canons of Dort. You have heard it. Articles 11 and 12, that speaks of the perseverance of the saints. Oh, a comfort for the child of God, that their salvation lies so sure in the work of a triune God, and so preserves me. Oh, then maybe one says, the Lord shall preserve his church. There's no falling away out of grace. And at last they shall be taken home. But here in the way of providence, I have so many troubles and so many troubles that I am afraid I do not know how it must go. Christ has also spoken to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. And then in Matthew 6, then he has said, O ye of little faith. Ah, those disciples, they had many concerns in congregation. What a concerns and cares there can be for our daily life. In our day, perhaps different in former days, then there were families where literally there were empty cupboards that a mother did not know how she was going to feed her family the next day. In our day, there can be cupboards with food, but that we are so much in debt and so many unpaid bills that we do not know how they shall ever be paid. But now so preserves me. And Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, then he has pointed the disciples to the lilies, to the sparrows, little creatures, little plants, and that the Lord cares for them, and the instructors, they have not to that end spoken of something very big, but they have mentioned Matthew 10, verse 30, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. That is the precious care of the Lord over his purchased people. Peter has said in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for thee. Then we hear that the instructors, that they are speaking in the full exercise and assurance of faith. The church learns that it is all given good. Every evening of every Lord's Day, then the 12 articles are ready, read. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. Do we believe it, congregation? Do we really believe what we profess? Maybe when it goes well, then it is easy to confess it. But when the Lord comes with trials and difficult ways, and even more so, when we are given to pray and to beg, and even more so, when the Lord grants much freedom at the throne of grace, even more so, when the Lord grants a promise concerning our temporal cares and necessity, and then it seems that the Lord's providence goes in another direction, that the need only becomes greater, then how faith can be tried. Oh, what a blessed thing that faith is, that the Lord grants unto his people, because faith does not first look at the circumstances, but is given to look to that mighty God who has created the heavens and the earth, and by his providence, that he reigns over everything, that he directs it to a certain end. And where Christ has purchased his people not only concerning their soul, but also their body. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. All things. The instructors does not only speak when there is prosperity or when we can understand it, but all things, that includes trials and afflictions, all young and old, the blessed portion of the people of God. Because when we read, all things shall be subservient to my salvation, then what must we say about the unconverted if they are not wrought upon by the Spirit? Then all things shall work for our condemnation. May we be filled with a holy jealousy. Ah, that this answer, that we may become so jealous that we may receive an impression, the necessity to receive this portion in the land of the living. Ah, then it is clear, I'm afraid many times among our people when we think of these things, then we think of eternity that is good and profitable, but to realize the blessed portion of God's people, that they are blessed here in the time. Oh, it is such a sweet comfort, and that is proven when the Lord converts a person, and when they may taste of the sweet things of the Lord. No, then I am not speaking of all these matters, because congregation, it does not begin. We hope to hear that in our last thought. But oh, when the Lord draws, when the Lord converts, then we are given to set our face Zionwards. And then even when we become a poor, a needy, a wretched, and a lost sinner, that we sit in church as the most unconverted sinner upon the world, then we would never want to go back in the world, because even for that missing and that seeking people, then there is already such a sweetness. Ah, to become a beggar and to be given to cry unto the Lord, thus all things subservient to my salvation. Does that mean that God's people can see it that they can understand it, that they can fathom it. Oh, when faith is an exercise, then they may be given to believe it. But it shall be tried. The Lord leadeth this people in those mysterious ways. We can give examples out of the Bible. Oh, if we would visit Joseph, was a blessed young man, young people. Two special dreams concerning the future. Are there also youth among the youth in our midst? Are there those that the things of the Lord, that they are not all strange matters? That have become a true seeker, that have made, because when the Lord works, that we shall make a choice. Think of Ruth, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And then that choice that becomes evident in our life, it cannot be hidden. Oh, in the beginning, many times we do our best to hide it, but it cannot remain hidden. Oh, then it shall be seen in the family circle, in the church, that it has become different. But for a Joseph, if we had visited him in prison and said, Joseph, how is it now, my boy? Shall all things work out to your salvation? And can you tell us how that can be? Oh, then Joseph, when faith was not an exercise, then Joseph would say, I do not know it no more. Oh, I have so firmly believed that the Lord has spoken in my youth, and the Lord has kept me in Egypt, that I have not fallen in sin, and now I am in prison, and the butler has forgot me. All from inhuman reckoning, then it can never be, but for the people of God. When it cannot, then it cannot. Oh, a Joseph, he has experienced that all things shall be subservient to my salvation. He was brought out of prison. And then in Genesis 50, verse 20, then he was given to tell his brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. And then further, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life. And when the instructors speak of eternal life, then that eternal life that begins here in the time for the true child of God. And now concerning that assurance, that is the longing of the child of God. How does the Lord now assure his people that they are truly the people of the Lord? Oh, by the marks of grace. Read Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. The Lord Jesus Christ was given to speak. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. For the people of God, does he not assure them when they may open the scripture and the scriptures may suit their case? Oh, he assures them in the house of God when it may be proclaimed from the housetops what is experienced in the inner chamber. He assures them by the means of grace, because by the means of grace, he not only works that faith, but he also strengthens faith by the preached word and by the use of the sacraments. Then I read in Romans 8 of the assuring work of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit testifies in the heart of a child of God that they are children of God. Oh, the psalmist in Psalm 35, verse 3, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. The Lord assures them in the way of a tender walk. We read thereof in Lord's Day number 32 when it speaks of that tender walk and the performing of good works. And then the instructor, they have listed three purposes: God's glory, the edification of our neighbor, the gaining of the church, and also that they may be assured of their faith and a further assurance. And makes me, oh, maybe there are souls, when we have spoken of these things, that you have thought, they are such great things, things I desire to have, but things which I miss when it speaks of that faithful Savior Jesus Christ, when it speaks of that blood, of that satisfaction, and delivered me from all the power of the devil, maybe a soul, that you say in this evening, I seem to be but a playball of the devil. Oh, he mocks, he assaults, and then further, concerning that care. Church is not there to say that Heavenly Father, but when the Lord works, that soul you cannot deny. And we must be careful that we do not make a foundation of special deliverances and the Lord's special care in the way of providence, that we do not make that a foundation for our salvation. Nevertheless, when the Lord works, then we shall experience much of that care, and all things must be subservient to my salvation and that assurance. The Lord of souls, they are called, and the prophet Isaiah, broken reeds and smoke and flaxes, but now makes, and we can test ourselves as the fruit of the work of the Lord. Then we come very low in this evening hour. And then the instructors are given to close their answer, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Oh, when the Lord works, although those other things, that they are still strange to them, but now that last sentence, they know that it has become different, and they are made willing because they read in Psalm 110 verse 3, a willing people in the day of his power, and makes me sincerely. The instructors use that word more often. That word sincerely, this genuine, it is real, it is heartfelt. Ah, the Lord has a people that are given to seek the Lord with their whole heart, and makes me sincerely willing and ready. Ah, when the Lord begins, what is that people not willing to do? They will do anything that they may be one of the Lord's and that they may receive his favor. Ah, then nothing is too much. Then their desire to use the means of grace to go up to God's house that they may hear. Ah, that is the desire for that people that is made willing and ready to lift to him. Then they have a desire to hear how that the Lord leads his people, because congregation, the Lord always leads his people. Oh, what a work that the Lord has to convert a people that are brought up under the truth, because then it can even be that our knowledge stands us in the way and that we try to tell the Lord how it must go. But the Lord shall lead his people in ways that they have not known, but they become willing. What an example we have in the Bible. Oh, Ruth, She was willing to leave all that Moab behind as she has set her face inwards and sincerely ready, willing and ready henceforth. Does it not speak of intentions? Maybe there are those that have thought, I need to be converted. But not yet. Still young. Maybe like Augustine. He has asked the Lord to convert him, but not yet. Martin Luther has said that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. But all when the Spirit works, then it is henceforth. And why? Because when the Lord works, life and death, then we are given to realize that we must die. Death becomes reality for us. And death is to appear before our Maker. And then we learn that we cannot die as we are born. Thus, henceforth, immediately, henceforth, to live unto Him. Let us first sing. Psalter 364, the four stanzas. From out the depths I cry to Thee, O let Thy ear attentive be. Hear Thou my supplicating plea. Have mercy, Lord. And what follows, 364, the four stanzas. the Christian's only comfort in life and death. The thought-provoking question, the comprehensive answer, and now thirdly, the indispensable knowledge. When we have heard from the instructors that comprehensive and rich answer, then there should be a question in all of our minds. And what should that question be, boys and girls? What should now be the question in all of our minds and of our hearts? And if we have a little impression of the blessedness of that answer, of that comfort for life and death, when we think in Luke 16 of that rich man and Lazarus the beggar, then it is true that Lazarus did not have so much. But then we read in that parable three times that word torments or tormented. Then that rich man was tormented. No comfort. Not even the comfort of water to cool his tongue. Oh, congregation, what an awful and what a terrible place that hell is. There shall be no love. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. There shall be cursing, never a bowing under the justice of God. But then it was said, but the Lazarus the beggar, he is now comforted. Thus then you can understand, we may have a little impression, even with our mind and with understanding, the matters that are spoken of in this Lord's Day, the comfort for life and death. And if our heart, I hope, that there may be many filled with the holy jealousy, and that this answer, this precious answer, that it may be turned into prayer. I hope, congregation, does that happen many times, that when you sit in church and you hear the word of God proclaimed, that you send many secret prayers up to the Lord, that he may give you the blessings whereof is spoken of the portion in God's holy word. Does it ever happen? Of course. Here we are bound to the time. But does it ever happen that we also send a secret sigh to heaven, that church may continue a little longer, that it is truly the house of God, when you may hear the wonderful things of the Lord, when you may hear your heart declared, or when you may be as a watered garden. And therefore the question should be, concerning this comfort, how may I now obtain and receive this comfort for life and death, for body and soul? And therefore, how many things are necessary for thee to know? And that knowledge, that is not only a knowledge with our mind, but that is an experiential knowledge, a great difference. Give an example for our boys and girls. We could read in a book of living way up north, where in the winter time the sun does not even come up, and where it is so bitterly cold. But it would be different to live up there. Or another example, you can hear that maybe your friend has to go to the hospital and needs an operation. And you go and visit that friend, and he or she tells you how it is went to be put out, come to, and to give and to describe their pain, we can sympathize. But it is very different if the doctor would now say in this week that you need surgery. Oh, let us mention the example of the mourning ones in our midst. What a blessing it is, congregation, when there is not an empty place in our family circles. And then we can go to a sympathizing family, can visit a widow, a widower, family that has lost a child. And then we can try to imagine what it is, but now to be given to experience it, that is so greatly different. And now the instructor, then he speaks of an experiential knowledge which the Lord works in the heart of his children by the work of the Holy Spirit, that thou, enjoying this comfort, do you hear it? Then the people of God, they are given to enjoy that comfort here in the time, only in beginning. And here, many a trial, many affliction, also necessary and profitable for them, that they may learn more the riches of this answer, that thou mayest enjoy this comfort, mayest live and die happily. And then the instructor speaks of three matters. Then that second question and answer, that is an introduction to the following 51 Lord's days. And then there is spoken of misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Misery in the Lord's days number 2 through 4. Deliverance, the Lord's days number 5 through 31. And gratitude in the Lord's days 33 through 52. And now concerning that knowledge and that wonderful work, then we have even read thereof out of the prophet Isaiah. And then the first verse that speaks that Christ would be anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach those good tidings of that only comfort to Zion, because we read to preach good tidings unto the meek. It's prophetical office. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That is his priestly office. And to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them for beauty of ashes, and then they shall be called, there we have the gratitude, shall be called the trees of righteousness, the pleading of the Lord, that he might be justified. And may it please the Lord by his Spirit to teach us and our children those 3 points We have not time to explain it in this evening hour, but in the first place to learn how great my sins and miseries, first sins, then our miseries are. In the second place, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. And in the third place, how I may show gratitude to God for such deliverance. The Lord teach us and our children, those special truths. May the means of grace, may they richly be blessed and applied to that end. All for the church of God, concerning that comfort, comforted here in the time. And oh, people of God, what shall it be when at the end, when we may be delivered, and then to be given to praise the Lord for his wonderful works wrought by free and sovereign grace. The psalmist in Psalm 48, verse 14, he has declared, therefore this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we may thank thee that thou wast given unto us and our children another Lord's Day, and that thou wast yet given a few words to speak. And may it please thee to crown thy word with thy indispensable blessing. And, O Lord, may we be given to return to our homes, and may we be given to meditate upon that important question. What is thy only comfort in life and death, O Lord? May there be those that may seek out a secret place and that may cry mightily unto thee, Ach, Lord. May thy word be blessed for the conversion of sinners, and may thou use it for the edification and the comfort of thy church. O Lord, there are times in the life of thy people when they may hear thy word declared, that they may tell thee, Ach, Lord, if that is now the way that thou leadest thy people, then I may have a hope that I am one of thine. O Lord, watch over us in this week. O wilt thou keep us from harm and danger, from an unexpected, but above all from an unprepared death. Keep us from sin and temptation. Guide our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Lord, wilt thou then remember in the home, remember at work, on the way at school, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou remember our youth that are studying in institutions of higher learning. Thou knowest the dangers. May thou preserve them that they may be given to stand steadfast. Lord, remember in this week when the consistory hopes to meet. Wilt thou gather with us? Wilt thou grant what is necessary? And where the sacrament of holy baptism hopes to be administered on the coming Lord's Day, Lord, wilt thou remember those parents? Wilt thou grant them a special week of preparation, that they may be given to beg for that one thing needful, for that only comfort? Lord, wilt thou watch over us in this night? Wilt thou grant refreshment for our bodies and for our minds, and that we may awake refreshed? Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter 439, the stanzas 2 and 3. Yet in my care, my grief and pain, I ever, Lord, with thee remain. My hand is clasped by thine forever and held by love that faileth never, and what follows. 439, the stanzas 2 and 3.
Thank you.
grace save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.